Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and raise and elevate the status of our brothers and sisters in Gaza and everywhere around the world and keep them safe. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, tonight inshallah, the topic is gossip. And inshallah, we're going to talk and answer the questions, what is gossip? How do we know when we are gossiping and backbiting? When is it forbidden? When is it allowed? Is there a time where a person, a Muslim, is able to gossip and it's not considered backbiting? And in which circumstances and what are the rules surrounding it? Why has Islam emphasized the importance of forbidding gossip? What are the causes of it? What are the harms of it? Why is it so bad? What motivates a person? What are the excuses that they give? What about the person who listens to the gossip happening in action? How do we repent and fix if we've gossiped about someone? What about gossiping about a non-Muslim? We are going to look at also six ways in which gossip is either a must or allowed. Sometimes it can be a must. So inshallah, we're going to look at all those areas, and then we're going to look at how to work on stopping ourselves from being gossipers. Bismillah. First of all, we need to understand the definition in the Islamic terms of what gossip and backbiting is exactly. And we can take it from the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat has already mentioned how bad gossiping negatively and backbiting is, where Allah says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do not backbite one another. Would one of you enjoy or fathom eating the flesh of a dead carcass of your brother? Imagine your brother's body is dead and you're eating from it. Allah says, "Karihtumuh." Oh no, you would detest it definitely by nature. So he says, look at backbiting someone as vile and detested as if eating their flesh after they've died. Subhanallah. This is what Allah describes in Surah Al-Hujurat. So therefore it must be quite dangerous and detrimental to the community and to all of us. So the definition of it is in the authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, and there are others similar to it in Bukhari and others. The Prophet, peace be upon him, once said to his companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Do you know what backbiting is? The Arabic term is غِيبَ, which means to talk about someone in their absence. They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He then replied, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. It is to say something about your brother or sister when they are not present, something which they would hate for you to say in their absence. So now, we've got three things, very important. Mentioning something negative about your brother or sister in their absence. And number three, they dislike you to say it. طيب. One companion said, Ya Rasulallah, a messenger of Allah, what if what we backbit them with is actually true? It really is in that person. He said, that is exactly what ghiba is, what negative gossip and backbiting is. But if you were to lie about your brother and sister in their absence, he says, that is even worse. That is called faqad bahatta. You have accused him and oppressed him above that. And buhtan, in the Quran, buhtan is to say something or accuse someone that is untrue and false. So that's even worse than gossiping negatively about someone or backbiting them when it is true. Okay. What if the person is okay with you mentioning that negative aspect about them in front of people? You are 100% sure and they are all right for you to say it. They told you it's okay if you say it to people. Then it is no longer in the level of ghiba because they gave you permission. But should you? No. It's a little bit less than the danger of gossip or the sin of gossip and backbiting. But why should you assist in degrading your brother? Quite the opposite. We are brothers and sisters in faith. So what we should be doing is honoring and elevating our brothers and sisters in their absence, even if he or she told you. But if you happen to be around a group of friends, let's say, and you're socializing, and one of your friends is not there, and normally they're okay with it, and you are used to each other, and you just say, oh, you know, so-and-so, Muhammad, you know, he did this the other day. But you know and are certain, and the whole group is certain, and Muhammad is certain that they're all okay with it, and it's not something that really causes harm, then it's okay. But why take that risk? Just make sure. I sometimes have fallen into it myself, and I'm sure nearly everyone here has fallen into it, where you have a very close friend, a close group of friends, three or four, and it's normal. You mention someone jokingly, but you intend that as a friendly thing, friendly banter, and you know that they're okay with it. Just make sure that when they come back and you see them, just say, look, man, I said that. And they'll say, yeah, look, it's okay. Because I also have seen, even in friend groups, when things backfire, it goes wrong. Sometimes your good friend may be in a bad mood. So what is the safest thing to do? Always monitor your tongue and your actions, even if they were friend, even if they were your own brother or sister or family, and don't say, oh, they're just my brother and sister. So avoid it as much as you can, even when you know they're okay with it. But I'm just illustrating to you the levels of how bad one is compared to the other. The highest level of character is to avoid it altogether, and just, if it's your friend, say it in front of them. Otherwise, apologize to them or just make sure with them. Let's move on, inshallah. So brothers and sisters, when you read the texts in the Quran and in the hadiths, when it talks about backbiting and gossiping, it'll use different terminologies. Because Arabic has more language. Sometimes it will call it ghiba, which means what we said before, to mention about your brother in their absence something they hate you to say in front of others. Number two, sometimes it says namima. Namima is a little bit worse than gossip or backbiting. It's basically the same thing. But the extra, when you hear a hadith say, la yadkhulil jannata namam, whoever goes around with namima will not enter paradise, meaning that when everybody's told to go into paradise, this person will be delayed or maybe even punished. And when the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed by a grave, he put a clover there, or some kind, not a clover, a plant, and he said, they are not being punished for something that you will consider major, but to Allah it is. He said, one of them, every time he used to get out of his house, he would walk around with namima. And the other person didn't care about his urination. He would splatter everywhere, not caring about his hygiene, and then he would go and pray with it, not caring. We're not talking about people where it's an accident or a very minute amount. We're talking about a person who splashes around, doesn't care, and then prays while knowing that there's urine on him. But the hadith that I want, the point that I want to say is that he said they are being punished for something which you don't consider big in your eyes. One of them is namam. So what is a namima? Namima is when you backbite, but this time you catch on to anything, rumors, false rumors that you know are false or you don't know if they're right, and you love to spread them around in order to cause chaos. So it's a malicious type of spreading around negative, mischievous, troublesome rumors about others, and the person does it intentionally. That is even higher than just backbiting a person. So this is a behavior, it's a pattern that a person does, namima. So that's a higher one. And then you have what we said before, buhtan, a person who goes around accusing, falsely accusing people. And that is top of the cake. That's the topping on the cake. That includes ghiba, namima, everything. So my brothers and sisters, is actively listening to negative gossip or backbiting sinful? If you're just merely around a group of people and they happen to be mentioning or backbiting someone in a negative way, and you're able to remind them and stop them, then it is a highly virtuous act in which the authentic hadith, Shaykh al-Albani has authenticated it, saying that whoever can stop someone in their presence from backbiting someone else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from a way into hellfire. So the virtue is called Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, to command good and prohibit evil. It's very natural that people should stand up for others, especially us as brothers and sisters. We should not allow other people in our presence to backbite other people negatively. Not only is it a defense of our brothers and sisters in their absence, it is also assisting and helping your own brother and sister who is in front of you from earning sins and giving away their good deeds. Number three, when you have that kind of behavior, people respect you and trust you more. So your status and your reputation is elevated in the eyes of people. So it is a reward from Allah. And number four, you know, we say, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ in the Quran. The reward of good doing. Allah says, is there any other reward for doing good other than returning the favor in good? So when you are like that, generally speaking, you also benefit from the reward. Others speak good about you. So there's high virtue in that. But when you actively listen, liking, enjoying, and, you know, helping in the situation. So, you know, I mean, if you want to gossip about someone negatively, one of the ingredients, the important ingredients, is to have someone listening to you. If you don't have someone listening, you're just talking to yourself. So the listener plays a role in the backbiting if the listener actively participates in the listening, and you can see it on their face. But if the person does not stop the person from gossiping, and they happen to hear, but they don't like to hear the stuff, but they didn't say anything either, it's not sinful. Unless you are actively wanting to listen. I'll give you an example. Two examples. Let's say you backbit someone in front of me, and then I changed my position and I gave you more attention. I'm inviting you to talk more. Now I'm the same. Another example. Someone backbites someone to me and I go, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Is that a good statement or a bad statement? It's the best. But in this situation, guess what? It's not a good statement. Because la ilaha illallah here, I don't mean la ilaha illallah, there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. What I mean is I'm not really paying attention to the meaning, I'm just saying Wow. But I'm just trying to Islamize it, trying to get rid of my guilt. Or here is another example of active listening and encouraging. Third example, I say to you, really, poor guy, really, is that what happened? What else happened? Yeah, subhanAllah, may Allah cure him, may Allah do this, may Allah do that. And if you talk about someone is ill and sick so you can go and visit him, there's nothing wrong. But if you mention something that's bad and you say, wow, feel sorry for him, yeah, really, may Allah make it easy for him, man, yeah, wouldn't like to be in their position. That's also active listening. You're encouraging the backbiting. If you know the other person does not like you to say it. If you are not sure if the other person does not like you to say it, what should you do? If I don't know that my young brother here likes me mentioning this negative thing about him or not, what should I do? Just avoid it. Avoid doubts. Avoid that. One of the consequences in the hereafter of us continuing to backbite others and not doing something about it to fix it is that they earn our good deeds. Allah gives them a share of our good deeds to compensate them for their loss. If you live the life of constant backbiting all your life and never repented, never did anything about it, and on the day of judgment arrived with mountains of good deeds. You got Hajj and Salah and Sawm and Sadaqah. You got all these amazing good deeds. But you find yourself that you've backbitten this person, backbitten that person, backbitten, probably even accused this person and that person. They take from your good deeds. Depending on how much the harm was, how much the pain was, how long, how intense, some people lose all their good deeds until there's nothing left. And some had gone so overboard with this habit of backbiting, they're obsessive about it, that they lose all their good deeds. And then what does Allah do? What happens after that? How does Allah compensate for the rest of the victims? You've run out of good deeds. What happens? Allah takes from the victims bad deeds and adds them to yours. Walayadu billah. And that is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, atadruna man al-muflis. Do you know who the true bankrupt person is? And then he explained this. Backbiting, gossiping, accusing, hurting, harming, taking their wealth, all of it is included. So let us not lose our good deeds. If you are a person, a victim of gossiped about, and you can't do anything about it, one of the remedies that help us get through it and not let it get to us, alhamdulillah, one of it is learning that Allah will not let your right go without being compensated. If it is not in this world, it will be in the hereafter. So you might think, you know, someone might come and tell you, so-and-so and these people are backbiting you. But if you go up to them and you start to fight and you start to talk, you have a right, you can go. And you can give them a word or two. But sometimes doing that with obnoxious people may make them talk even more and probably lead to even greater harm. So some people would like to say, okay, these are the ruthless ones. The ruthless is not the one who goes and fights. I mean, they take their right. It's ruthless and you have a right to do that. But Islamically, the more ruthless one is the one who says, okay, good, I'm very happy. Alhamdulillah, today I didn't have to do many good deeds, I just got them for free. Today and past week, I've been earning a few shortcomings and sins. Alhamdulillah, they've taken them off me. Now this is for a person of true believer and faith who understands all this and believes in all that. And a mu'min, a believer, lives this life as if they're in the hereafter. Of course, if the gossiping and backbiting is going to hurt you or your dignity or your family or your children or your wealth, a Muslim goes and makes sure that they protect these properties and these dignities as much as they can. My brothers and sisters, let's move on. We all know now that there is negative gossip and backbiting. Why is it so haram? In fact, how haram is it? All the scholars unanimously agree that active backbiting and gossiping negatively about someone in their absence when they don't like it is a major sin. Major. And of course, major sins come in different levels. Not all major sins are as major as the other. But why? Why so bad? Because these are the causes of disunity, people's breakup, loss of property and wealth. Sometimes it causes death. It causes injuries. It can cause families or children to run away from their parents, even I've seen it. It can cause husband and wife to divorce. It can cause hatred and enmity between people. The list goes on, each one depending on how severe it is. So although we see it small, over time the effect is huge, like a snowball. Having said this, brothers and sisters, there is halal gossip. So, there are two types of gossip in Islam. Negative gossip and positive gossip, or halal gossip. Now remember, we said in Arabic, gossip is to mention about a person or a group something when in their absence, they're not there, something they dislike, they hate, or you know that anyone would hate it. And one of the best ways to look at it is if you were in their place and someone spoke about you that way, would you like it? I've had teenagers at school who say to me, I don't mind. No, that's not true. They're just saying it there and then to look heroic or strong. But in general, if I were to take that teenager from that group of students at school and put them in another setting outside, let's say in front of parents or whatever, will they like it? No. So talking about someone, putting yourself in their place in all the different situations, nobody would like it, so don't say it about others. So, however, there are halal ways, and in fact, there are some, as I said in the beginning of my lecture, where you're obliged if you can. So let's have a look at them. They are six. Six halal ways Islam has permitted gossip. Number one, when you are wronged or your right has been taken from you. In this case, you are allowed to complain to someone who can do something about it, mention it to someone who can help you get your right back. In doing that, you will need to talk about specific people and what they did, correct? That normally is gossip, negatively, because it's in their absence, you're talking to someone else about it, and they don't want you to say it. But in this case, this is your right. You are the victim. And how can you get your property or your right back without speaking? Islam did not come to tell you gossip is haram, even if it's against your rights. No. If it is a complaint seeking your right and you are wronged, you are allowed to mention the thing which the other person has wronged you with, even in detail. One verse in the Quran, in Surah 4, number 148, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. Allah does not like speaking evil publicly. He doesn't like you to go around speaking evil about others publicly. Unless one has been wronged, Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Forgive me, I did this. I'm not trying to, a'udhu billah, say anything wrong about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we automatically move like this. So Allah, His hearing is not like us. Allah is all hearing and He is all knowing. So a person is allowed to talk, even publicly, about the rights that have been taken from them. For example, even to this point, let's say someone, you lent them money and they promised to give it back to you and they didn't give it back. You give them time. They start taking their time. And then you find out they could have given it back to you, but they've gone and invested it and they're making profit out of it. And you are suffering. Maybe you're in need of money yourself. And you've reminded and tried, but this person continues to oppress you. And then you came to the mosque while everybody is here and stood up after salah and say, my brothers and sisters, so-and-so person lent money from me, and I've been after him, and he doesn't give me right, and my children are like this, and I am getting harmed from them, and I've done, that is not haram. That is your right. Because a Muslim is a human, and a human can get frustrated, and our patience has a limit. So Allah gives us a room to breathe. And one of the ways to breathe is to vent out the wrong that someone has done to you after you've tried to fix it, after you've tried to get your right back. Of course, the condition of that is that it has to be genuine. It's not that I want to use this time to get back at someone and then I exaggerate. That's haram. Everything within balance, and it has to be fair. So that's the first halal gossip. What is the second halal gossip? It's called warning. Warning someone about someone who can cause them harm. So let's say you know that someone is going to hang around with someone else, or you heard that someone is about to extort someone else's wealth, or someone is going to hurt someone else, or someone is going to be a witness, and you know that that witness is lying or is not trustworthy. In this case, mentioning and telling someone else about that person who is going to cause harm is not haram. It's gossip, but it's halal gossip. Why? Because you're protecting the rights of others. Of course, again, the condition is it should not be a malicious opportunity for someone to exaggerate and get back at someone. And you must be absolutely sure. If you're doubtful, you say, look, I've heard like this. Like the man who came to Musa alayhi salam and said, Inna al-qawma ya'tamiruna liyaqtuluk. The people of Pharaoh right there, and he pointed to those people, so he knows which people. They are conspiring to kill you, O Moses, run away. Even if you need to mention the name of the person, you are allowed. Number three, what is the third way of halal gossip? When you're seeking advice or fatwa, sometimes you may sit with a scholar or a learned person for a religious matter in which you need to mention the name of someone. Are you allowed to do that? Yes. Or you're seeking advice from somebody who can advise you, a counselor, a therapist, a family member, a level-headed friend who can give you good advice. Anybody. You can seek the advice from anybody who can help you with your situation, whether it's a scholar for a fatwa of religion or general life experience or anything like that. You may say, such and such a person, I had this issue with them and they did this. What can you advise me to do? I want to settle it. I want good out of it. Or I want to protect myself. Or what can you advise me? Sometimes you may go to a scholar, an imam or someone of knowledge to say, you know, my cousin so-and-so or my father or my mother or my brother and sister or my friend so-and-so or another imam or someone, this thing happened between us and he said this and she said that and they did this. Give me a fatwa. Am I allowed to do this or that? Are you allowed to do that? Yes. For example, inheritance. Someone died in the family. One of the siblings claims that all this money is theirs and that they say the person who passed away had gifted it to them before they died or something, and there is suspicion there, and you go to a sheikh or scholar and you have to mention your brother, he claimed this or he claimed that. This is gossip, but it is halal gossip because you're seeking advice and fatwa. You have a problem with someone, a situation, you say, how do I deal with it? And you go to somebody who doesn't have to be a scholar, but a person who you trust in their advice and you like their advice and they can advise you. The condition is that you don't exaggerate. You don't use it as an opportunity to degrade someone. That's not your intention. And number three, you're sincerely and genuinely wanting good advice for a good reason, not for a bad reason. Right? So that's number three. Number four, halal gossip is identity. Identity. You're identifying someone. So you know that mentioning negative gossip about someone also includes talking about their features, for example. Somebody has a strange eye, or a crooked nose, or a weird teeth, or a strange limp, or a strange voice. Anything about them is negative. We shouldn't be talking about people's features, negative features. If they dislike it, of course. But you want to say something good about them, or you want to remember someone, or you want to deal with someone in a good way, for a good reason, and you could not remember their name, and then the person in front of you knows that if you mention the feature, they might know them. So you say, you know, the person who normally has a limp in their left leg, everybody knows them. Now, you're intending to just identify, not to ridicule. In that case, it is halal gossip. Subhanallah, some people turn it into a business to joke about other people's shortcomings and disabilities. Even if somebody truly is disabled, a person who is mentally disabled or physically disabled, we should not ever talk about their disability unless we need to. Number five, halal gossip. Marriage proposal or some kind of business partnership. Anything involving contract, a bond, an agreement, a promise between two people, sometimes you need to ask about that person. Someone may come to you saying, look, my daughter has been approached, has been proposed to by so-and-so. And I know that you know the family, you know the brother. What can you tell me about him? Even if you ask, do you know if they've had struggles with substance abuse? Normally, we don't talk about people's sins. That's haram. But only in this case, where someone else is about to share a life with this person, or they're going to share their property and their wealth, you want to know if they're trustworthy. Then halal, it's halal to mention some negative things about that person, which in normal cases it would be haram. Does that make sense? Some scholars said, if a person approaches you about a proposal for themselves or for their daughter or for their son or for anyone, anyone in their family, and they want to ask you about them, and it involves them, some scholars say it is actually an obligation. You have to. You have to mention anything serious about them to them, but they said within condition. You have to say it with respect. You have to try and mention more good than bad about that person, unless the person is just a dropkick, loser, completely gone. And you don't intend, like you're not, you don't have a malice intention. Let's say someone approached you about the marriage to such and such a girl, and you had the intention to also probably marry that girl, but you just didn't get there in time. And the person comes to you and you say, I'm going to wipe the floor with this guy so that she doesn't take him and I can go and propose to her. Or let's say I want to buy a house, and then I tell you, listen, that person in the house is a low life, he's a cheat. And then you go away, then I go and buy the house. So in this case, this is terrible. This is a major sin. But any other case, if it's genuine and honest, and you know, it's an obligation. But if you're not sure, say, I'm not sure. Number six, and the last one, halal gossip, is when you need to talk about a public sinner, a person who parades their sin and doesn't care. But of course, there is a limit to how you talk about that. If talking about that public sinner is unnecessary, don't talk about them. If talking about the public sinner is going to lead to greater harm, don't talk about them. But if there is a need to warn people to talk about their action which they are doing in public, then do so. So for example, somebody drinks in public, takes drugs, and everybody knows about it. This is a person who, if you spoke about with an intention to warn people, because this is community and public interest, then it is allowed. Especially if you know that people who are good are going to mix with them or go with them or get influenced by them, or they have an appeal to them or attracted to them. It's important for a Muslim to guard and help other people and other Muslims from falling into the trap of this person. Now, you might be at work, and at work, there are some employees who smoke cigarettes. But they don't smoke cigarettes in front of other people. They try to move away and smoke it, let's say, in their break behind a wall somewhere. And then you saw them. Is that counted as public sinner? Because we know that smoking cigarettes is actually haram. It's a minor sin, but it's a sin. Should you talk about that person? No. A person goes round the corner and you see a boy and a girl, for example, who are not lawful for each other, they hugged and kissed. Islamically, this is forbidden, of course. Should you go and publicize them? Is this a public sinner? No. They're trying to hide it. You can go and advise them. Of course, if there is going to be harm to someone else, then you advise them. And if they don't listen, then you go, you can inform the victim, the person who is involved and will be harmed. So anyway, each case by case, sometimes it's very difficult to tell you whether you should say something or not. Before doing anything, brothers and sisters, always seek advice from someone learned of what you should do, so that we don't turn a problem that can be resolved into a bigger problem that cannot be resolved. And this is a very important rule in deen, that it is forbidden to change a bad thing if changing it is going to lead to something worse. You leave it. So these are the six ways. If you are wronged, for complaint, warning, advice and fatwa, identification, marriage proposal and business partnership, public sinner. What are some of the causes? Why do people want to gossip and backbite negatively? Number one, jealousy and envy. Number two, hate. They might hate them, so they want to get an opportunity to express that hate. Number three, competition. They're competing with them, so they think it's an opportunity for me to degrade them so I can rise. Number four, anger. You're angry with the person. They haven't taken anything from you, you're just angry at them, so you want to gossip. Says, I'm angry, that's why. No, not an excuse. Number five, it's a benefit to, you have a benefit out of it. This is an opportunity of extortion. So the person backbites. Number six, your social group. So one of the main causes, actually, and one of the biggest causes of gossip and backbiting negatively, is when we sit around social groups who enjoy gossiping and backbiting. Number seven, boredom. You're bored. What are false justifications? These are some of the justifications people use to backbite and gossip negatively. Number one, sometimes you might say, I didn't say their name. Can you gossip without saying a person's name? No. I say, well, I didn't mention their name, but hold on a minute. If the people you're talking to have a hint or know who you're talking about, not mentioning their name is the same thing. And one of the ways of actually, in a sly way, referring to someone is not even speaking with your mouth, but just moving your facial expressions or your hand movements. This is forbidden in the Quran, in Surah Al-Humaza. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every humazitin lumaza, hammazin masha'in binamim. Humaza, lumaza, what's the difference? They're both the same, but one, humaza, is the one who uses his voice, his mouth or her mouth to refer to someone indirectly. And lumaza is when you use body or facial expressions to refer to someone. So for example, a person walks into the room and one person makes an animal sound. Everybody knows who you're referring to. That's humaza. Sometimes I might make an expression like this. Hey, look, we know who we're talking about, right? We're not going to mention a name because we don't want to gossip, but you know, so-and-so. And you roll your eyes. That's both humaza and lumaza. Someone walks in and when we go, facial expressions. Someone mentions someone to me and I go, oh, don't mention it. They're like this, I'm like that. This is gossip, this is backbiting. So be very careful of that. Number two, some people say, I'm just venting. I'm getting it off my chest. If you are not wronged, all right, if it's not your right, someone hasn't taken something from you, and you just want to get it off your chest because you just get annoyed or irritated by that person, then that is gossip. That's negative gossip. That's backbiting. Number three, getting back at them. They gossiped about me, I'm going to gossip about them. Some people might think that's fair. No, it's not. Because, look, brothers and sisters, when I take news to someone else, why is it not fair? Because now I'm expanding the fitna out. I'm causing others to also gossip. But if I go back to that person and I say, you're a dog for calling me a dog, that's okay. It's not okay. I mean, you shouldn't do that. But is it a sin? No, because they called you a dog. That's all right. But to go around gossip is not an excuse. Number four. Some people say to justify gossip, I'd say it to his face, bro. I'd say it to his face. Don't we hear that a lot? We think it's okay. That's the shaitan speaking. He's going, shh, you'd say it to his face. Don't worry. Yeah. And then suddenly I got my guilt off. Listen, I'm going to tell you about that person, but I swear, look, I'd say it to their face, so don't worry. Just because you can say it to their face, does that mean you can go backbite them? Go say it to their face. Why are you saying it to them? Because what happens is that you're also encouraging others to continue gossip. The thing is, when I see you doing something, I want to do it too. When everybody does it, sometimes then it's normalized. That's the idea. Number five, some people justify by saying they're just a kid. Whoever said that backbiting a little child is halal? If I talk about a dirty, ugly behavior of a child, say that they're eating and sloppy and everywhere, and I say, look how dirty that child is. Who am I actually talking about? Their parents. Do you see how it goes on? And that is why parents who don't like it, when they hear someone talking about their dirty child, they get very offended. Why? Because you're attacking them. Do you see how it's actually worse than what we thought? Number six, don't worry. They'll be all right with it. I know them. Remember what we said before? You're not sure if they're all right with it. Even if you know them, oh, he's my brother. Don't worry, he's just my brother. And then we feel that we can talk about them. No, actually, it's haram. So, and another one which is common amongst them, I want to comment on that. Don't worry, he's a kafir. He's a disbeliever. He's a non-Muslim. They think we can gossip and backbite negatively about non-Muslims because they're non-Muslims. Actually, no. The non-Muslims you can gossip about negatively are the ones who are at war with the Muslims and are at hostility with the Muslims and Islam. Not your common everyday non-Muslim you live amongst, who is not causing you harm, who is not out there to destroy your religion and destroy you as Muslims. They're your colleagues at work, they're your neighbors, they're your sometimes family members, sometimes they're friends at school, you know, colleagues. Sometimes you're married to them. So backbiting non-Muslims who are in peace and security with you, like everyone else, is forbidden. Because again, we would be spreading community chaos. The Prophet ﷺ said, Beware, whoever oppresses a mu'ahad or diminishes his right or burdens him beyond his capacity or takes anything from him without his willing consent, then I shall be his adversary on the day of resurrection. Sahih Abu Dawood. Who is a mu'ahad? He or she is a non-Muslim who has a contract or treaty or understanding or agreement or social construct of sociology to know these things. Anyway, who is publicly known that you live together in peace and tranquility, they have rights, you have rights. So here in Australia, for example, normally a person will say mu'ahad is a non-Muslim living in a Muslim country. That's one. But also here, you have an agreement with the country you're living in. Whether you have a visa, whether you're a student, whether you're a resident, whether you're a citizen, whether you were born here, whether you were naturalized, whether you were by descent. All of us here have an agreement by being citizens and residents or visa holders of this country with everyone else. Their rights are protected, your rights are protected, and there is a law that protects people's rights. Nobody harm anyone. Your religion and your deen is protected. Your mosque is protected. Nobody is allowed to attack it. For this reason, we are not allowed to backbite them. We are in a mu'ahada. We are in a mutual contract with everybody else. Even if you didn't sign anything. So brothers and sisters, this is a very important point that a lot of people don't know very well. And they just take bits and pieces of knowledge without fiqh, without jurisprudence and understanding and learning. So never speak something without knowledge. And never oppose without ilm, without knowledge. And not just Google knowledge or ChatGPT. You need to really go further into it. My final remarks, my brothers and sisters, is this. About the non-Muslim, some people might say, hold on a minute, that hadith that you mentioned, you say, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, it is to mention about your brother. And they might say, there you go, akhaka means Muslim. What the scholars said about that hadith is that when the Prophet ﷺ spoke it, this is called, there's a name for it in Arabic and in English, what it basically means is when he speaks to the majority. So the people around him, the majority are Muslims, the ones who were speaking to, though he said brother or sister. As an extension, the other hadith then covers all non-Muslims as well in the community. How to repent from gossiping negatively and backbiting? 5 ways. Number 1, if you have caused harm or loss to the person whom you backbit and you know it, then you must go and fix that loss and compensate them for their harm in their dignity, their property, their dignity and family, their property, their mind. Let's say they got harmed with drugs or some kind of something that went into their mind. Number 4, you've got to make it up for them for their deen. Let's say you compromise their deen, their religion. And number 5, subhanallah, their body. So you cause them physical harm. In any of these 5, you have to fix it and compensate them for it, or get their forgiveness. The second way to repent from backbiting is, if there was no harm done to the other person, it's just words and just talk, even if it's ugly and people talk about them, you must first try to see if you can go and ask them to forgive you. But if you know that if going to ask them to forgive you is going to cause a bigger problem, then don't. Instead, say astaghfirullah al-azim, ask Allah to forgive you sincerely, and go back to the group or the person you backbit that person to and say to them, look, please keep this between us. I take my word back. I shouldn't have said it. And say something good about them. Number 3, if you can't do any of that, make dua for them. Make dua for them. Number 5, if you cannot remember who you backbit, I think that applies to everyone, all of us here. There are many people we might have backbit and negatively gossiped about and we've forgotten who they were. Then what we can do is we constantly make dua and say, oh Allah, reward and elevate every person who I have wronged and have backbitten any time who I don't know about, whether he is here or she is here or away or passed away or dead. And when you give sadaqah, sometimes put a dollar in and say, and this is on behalf of anyone who I have wronged or backbitten or gossiped about. These are the five ways, inshallah, you cover yourself. My last and absolute last way is, how do I stop myself from gossip? So gossip can become a behavior, a behavioral problem. And when you do it over and over again, guess what? It becomes a behavioral problem. So number one, read how bad it is to gossip and how bad it is of a sin and how Allah gets angry with the person. When you read about it, like coming to this talk now, and reading about it can make you more conscious and aware and fearful of doing it. So fear can help a person be more conscious. Number two, make a decision to not do it. Tell yourself, say, I've made a decision that I'm going to work on it. Just making that conscious decision is powerful. Number three, always try to get into the habit, mental habit, of putting yourself in the shoes of others who you wrong. Like if I was in their place, how would I feel? Because a lot of us truly do forget about how we would feel, because it's not us. We feel more comfortable because it's not me. When it's the bad reputation of someone else or whatever, we feel okay because it's not me, it's them. So how about we reverse and say, what if it was me? No, if I don't want it for myself, I'm not going to do it for others. Number four, reflect on your day. Some people, and this is a sunnah that is forgotten, and it is mu'atabatu nafs, or at-tafakkur, reflecting upon yourself and looking at yourself and say, I shouldn't have done that. We're not talking about overthinkers. We're talking about real situations. Say, did I hurt anyone? Did I backbite? Oh, I did that, subhanAllah. I'm going to make a dua for them. Or if I can go back tomorrow, I'm going to tell them this or that. Number five, fill your time instead of boredom. The more time you have, the more you're going to gossip. Number six, make an effort to make it up, meaning make it up to them. Number seven, avoid social gatherings who like to gossip, whether it's online, on social media, because social media is the biggest place now of gossip. And it's worse on social media, because once you type it, guess what? It's there for a very long time unless you delete it. And if somebody has screenshot it, it's gone to someone else. It never stops. Some people have so much of an ego that once they type something, their ego and their pride and their arrogance will not let them delete it. Why? Okay, give your good deeds away, ya akhi. Take their sins, sahtan. As we say in Arabic, sahtan albak, yani enjoy. Lovely taste. Some people, it tickles their fancy. They thrive off it. Okay. Die in your rage and your lovely taste. Number eight. Include in your company righteous people. Like try to walk around with people who are righteous. You know, righteous people, what is their habit? A righteous person, a good person who fears Allah. You know what they do? They have a habit of reminding you. They won't just let you off, but they do it with care. I tell you, don't say that, brother. Wallahi, it's because I fear for you. But do it with these people will remind you and stop you. And lastly, focus on your own shortcomings. Like remember that you've got shortcomings yourself. And remember that if you start talking about other people's shortcomings, you're going to invite others to really beastly come to you and talk to you about you like vultures. You're going to cop it yourself. So people talk about your shortcomings. And usually, if you hear someone gossiping about someone else and they call you their friend, guess what? Studies have shown, and in our experience, that most of the time, a person who gossips to you frequently about someone else, they are also gossiping about you. And if they're not yet gossiping about you negatively, as soon as one thing goes wrong between you and them, you're finished. They're going to go and wipe the floor with you. So be careful of how much information you give. Be careful about what kind of friends you have. And put yourself in that position, and you look after your own character, for our good deeds and our life is more important, and our hereafter is more important. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from sin and to forgive our sins and to make us among the righteous. Oh Allah, pardon us and unite this ummah in goodness. Oh Allah, give goodness to all our brothers and sisters and forgive all those whom we have hurt or accused or slandered or backbitten. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds and to protect our brothers and sisters once again in Gaza and everywhere else around the world. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.